And it is time to talk sports. We've got Dr. Deborah Stroman on the line from UNC. Great, great basketball player and commentator. And it is a great, great time of year to be a basketball fan. In spite of the fact that the Tar Heels are out of the NCAA tournament on both the men's and women's side, the March Madness continues for another couple of weeks. And we have had a couple of really topsy-turvy first couple of rounds in the NCAA tournament. It promises to be that much more topsy-turvy as we get into the later rounds. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us on the air.
Thank you. It has certainly been a very, very mad tournament. And I think for the two of us, we got the punch in the stomach with Michigan State and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Tar Heels stepping out. So I think we're all going to watch, but we just won't be as engaged. And maybe this is a tournament that we can enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm not ready to enjoy it yet. I'm looking at the Sweet 16, and I see Kentucky there on the top left, and I was like, as long as they don't win, I'm happy. Any of the other 15 teams, I'll be totally fine, even if it's Duke, and I know that's sacrilege, but anyone but Kentucky, ABK, that's what I'm going with right now.
Well, there's no doubt we have a lot of teams that have just stolen our hearts. Everything from Loyola Chicago and the 98-year-old grandmom who's just delighting the sports fan base. We've got Nevada, who had an amazing comeback. We've got Texas A&M, not for the Tar Heel Nation, though, but there are many people who only see Texas A&M as football country, and to see them playing so well. We've got West Virginia, which many people thought is a very, very difficult out because they play that full court press.
Mm-hmm.
And there are fans around the country who really, really like that style. It's amazing how men's and women's basketball has gone against pressing full court. People feel that once you get past that first line of defense, you have a layup. But yet West Virginia continues to use that defense, and it works. But there's no doubt there's excitement. And I think for most ACC fans, the intrigue around Jim Boeheim and Coach K going at it, Syracuse versus Duke, Jim Boeheim being the teacher who helped Coach K understand that zone press, that zone defense when they worked together in the Olympics. And now Coach K will use it against Coach Boeheim to possibly win.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating thing just looking at the Sweet 16 from conference to conference. In the ACC, you've got four teams that are still alive. And if you had said at the very beginning of the tournament, well, we'd get to the Sweet 16 and there would be four ACC teams left, you'd probably say Duke, you might say Clemson, but you'd certainly would have put Virginia and UNC in there. But now it's Duke and Clemson. They've had a really good year, but Florida State would not have been a team that you would have thought. Syracuse barely snuck into the tournament. So just a really interesting weekend and turn of events for individual conferences, too, I think.
Well, no doubt. And I think people did wrestle with whether or not ACC is still arguably the best conference in the country, but does it beat itself up?
Mm-hmm.
As in the struggle to win the regular season championship, the struggle to win the ACC tournament, and then when it's time for March Madness, can the team switch gears and go to another level or change their play based on these very, very hungry upstart teams? And there's no doubt that the Blue Bloods, North Carolina, Duke, even Louisville, have learned to weather that storm and go into third or fourth gear. But some of the other teams, very, very difficult, and they've struggled. For example, Florida State, always known as having long, tall, lean, great post players. And every once in a while, they'll get that All-American guard. But for some reason, Florida State gets stuck when it's time for the NCAAs. And no one, of course, would have suspected that Clemson would go this far without their star player who got injured earlier in the year. So it's a good time to just, I guess, appreciate ACC men's basketball, but also understand that we have that best, the school plus the ACC, and teams will just gun to
yep.
beat us.
We got Dr. Deb Stroman on the line talking March Madness with the Sweet 16 coming up. And obviously the biggest surprise of the tournament was that 16-1 UMBC in the first round. And I know you're a Virginia fan, so we'll leave that aside. But aside from that, what has been the biggest surprise of the tournament so far?
Well, there's no doubt. I look at a lot of different things when it comes to the basketball tournament. But the press really, really created a story this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that story was Oklahoma and Trae Young. And many people thought that Oklahoma should not even be in the tournament. And its arch rival, Oklahoma State, had a much better record in terms of head-to-head and them beating Kansas and some other powers. But yet, this Trey Young story was built all season, and how could you not give him the big stage? And it just points to whether or not commercialism, exploitation is really, really that strong, because you've created a narrative, and now for dollars, as in you want people to keep the TV on, you're going to put Oklahoma and Trey Young on. And sadly, or to some people, it's only right that Oklahoma ended up losing in the first round. And Trey Young, since then, Division I, number one scorer in the country, over 27 points per game. He's already announced that he's going pro. So that's interesting how the media controls the game and certainly the hours in which the students play. There's no doubt that people are still questioning Villanova. They've been number one. They won the championship 2 years ago. But yet there's still a question mark around them. And a lot of the experts have predict that now with the reseeding and certainly the way Duke has just mauled its first two opponents, that now Duke jumps over Villanova. So I don't know if it's just a lack of respect for Jay Wright's program or people really don't believe that they have the depth to win it all. But it's interesting watching this Villanova on the bandwagon, off the bandwagon.
So now that we're into the Sweet 16, and I know literally everyone's bracket has been busted. I've only got one Final Four team out of the four that I picked that even made it through the second round. And pretty much everyone here at the station is in exactly the same. Sure, most people out there listening who filled out a bracket are in pretty much the same position as well. Now that we're in the Sweet 16, completely blank slate, new weekend, fresh start, who do you see going to the Final Four? I remember you and I talked, and you were the one who said Texas Tech was going to go all the way, right? And you still got they're still in, which surprises me. So your championship pick is still going, but who else do you see going to the Final Four?
Well, Kansas is still alive. I did pick Kansas to come out. I picked Texas Tech to come out, and I hate to say this on the air, but I did pick Michigan to come out. And so the brain and the heart,
so you're
UVA,
doing all right.
That's the one that really crushed me. So if I could reseed, I might pull Texas Tech out now and take Villanova. I'm still okay with Kansas coming out. Michigan, I'll still take them. I will still take them, even though it's definitely going to be a big challenge for them to move forward. So, I'm looking at Villanova or Kansas to win it all. But, you know, it'd be kind of neat if I actually picked Texas Tech and it comes to pass that they win it all.
Dr. Deb Stroman on the line right now. And before we let you go, let's turn our attention to the women's Sweet 16, which also has had a couple of big upsets. Connecticut, of course, cruising through the first two rounds, as everyone expected. Duke still alive. It's going to be UConn-Duke in the Sweet 16. What are you seeing over there, and what are the big surprises, and who other than UConn do you see going forward into the Final Four?
Well, there's no doubt that this has become an ongoing story, and Coach Gino Auriemma, who actually I played under for 2 years at UVA before he went up to Connecticut. The ongoing story is Connecticut's dominance bad for women's basketball. And he always uses the example of Tiger Woods dominating. That didn't hurt golf. Alabama winning every other year, if not, you know, years in a row. That's not a bad thing. And so UConn is definitely the favorite. They're undefeated. They're looking at number six in terms of championships, their consecutive years being consecutive number of years that they've been undefeated, which is just unheard of. But the only opportunity for someone to sneak in, I really like Jeff Waltz and what he's done at Louisville. I think they're very, very strong. The upsets are very compelling, and you'll see this more in women's basketball, I think, because of the parity. As in, once you get past, you know, maybe the top two or three teams, everybody really, really has a chance. Whereas men's basketball, you have really conceivably 30 teams that could win it all. But no doubt Louisville will be there. Notre Dame, even though they've had four players with ACL injuries, Coach Muffet McGraw is still just doing a great job with coaching. South Carolina is going to be tough for them. But, you know, they did win it last year. They have the best player in the country in Asia Wilson. But still, all dollars, all bets are on Connecticut.
Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC, thank you so much for joining us. And at this point, I'm hoping your pick works out and Texas Tech goes all the way. I'm with you on that now.
Thank you.